Good morning and welcome to our traditional service this morning on the second Sunday after Easter. It's wonderful to be with you again, and I hope you've been enjoying all this wonderful weather that we've had over recent days. If you're joining us for the first time or you're new to joining us here at All Saints and St Andrews, my name is Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here, and a very warm welcome to you. Well, today we continue to journey with the disciples in the early days after that first Easter, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Last week, Eddie, our youth minister, was speaking to us about how Jesus is with us in the everyday. He is with us in the ordinary. And on that first few days, he came and met the disciples in the upper room and said, "Peace be with you." And Jesus went to where the disciples were. And in the same way, we can take confidence that Jesus comes to us where we are. We have to have a heart that will welcome him, but he is there with us if we want to know him. And we can have that assurance this morning. And so we're going to continue that journey this morning. Judith is going to speak to us later about stop doubting and believe, really, again, centered around Thomas's response of being uncertain as to whether Jesus really had been resurrected until he had seen him for real. But before we get into our service and start to sing our first hymn, let me pray. Blessed are you, Lord God of our salvation. To you be praise and glory forever, as once you ransomed your people from Egypt and led them to freedom in the promised land. So now you have delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your risen Son. May we, the first fruits of your new creation, rejoice in this new day you have made and praise you for your mighty acts. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let's sing our first hymn, which is number 467, if you've got the hymn books for in the home worship packs. And it's Morning Has Broken. Morning has broken like the first morning. Let us sing.
First bird, praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for the springing, fresh from the world. Sweet the rain's new. Like the first dew fall on the first grass, praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. God's recreation of the new day.
Called to praise, praise in the morning, praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of this new day. Isn't that a wonderful reminder, particularly with the present weather, to rejoice and praise God every day. So let us continue our service on page 21 of the service booklets. The Lord be with you. And with his also with you. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And we say together the prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. And just in a moment of quiet, I want to bring to mind those areas in our own lives where we've fallen short this week. Perhaps areas where we've really struggled this week. Bring those to the Lord and give them to him in a moment of confession. So let us say paragraph 5 together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me say the collect for today. Almighty God, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve you in pureness of living and truth. Through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Trish is now going to bring us our readings, and then Judith is going to speak to us.
Good morning, everyone. The first reading is taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading, taken from the New Testament, is John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples. These are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's talk. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Judith, and I am one of the lay ministers at St Andrews, and I'm really, really pleased to have this chance today to talk about this wonderful story about the Apostle Thomas. So before we start, let's just pray briefly. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that through the ages it has been speaking to people. And as we look at this together, we pray that you would speak to us and into our hearts, and that you give me words that would communicate what you want to say. Amen. So for those of you who watched a contemporary service last week, the video clip showed this story of Thomas, who first of all was not with the disciples when Jesus appeared to them, and then later on, after having stated that he wasn't going to believe that Jesus was alive unless he could see him, he did in fact meet Jesus himself. And Thomas is probably most famous for giving us that expression, "Doubting Thomas," which really, when you look at it in the context of what had happened before, is a bit unfair, to be honest. Because as we heard last week, others had doubted too that Jesus had risen from the dead. The disciples didn't believe Mary and the women at first. And it was only when they met Jesus themselves in a locked room that they believed. And in fact, Jesus showed them his hands and his side, which is exactly what Thomas wanted to see too. So I think Thomas gets a bit of a bad rap, really, being called Doubting Thomas. So why didn't Thomas believe at first? Well, frankly, it was pretty unbelievable, wasn't it, that this man who they'd seen die was supposedly alive again. Maybe you find it hard to believe too. There's plenty of people today who think it is complete nonsense. And most people grow up outside the church and they don't really get a chance to find out about Jesus or to question whether in fact it is nonsense or not. But I wonder too, with Thomas, whether there was perhaps a slight feeling of jealousy, being left out. Everyone else is claiming to have met Jesus. Well, wasn't he Jesus's friend too? Why had he got left out? Why did he appear when he wasn't there? Maybe a sense of, well, he too wanted to see Jesus if this was really true. Or maybe he was just a very rational man who really liked facts. And I can identify that. Certainly when I'm making management decisions at work, I like them to be based on evidence where possible. But I think the first thing I really draw out of this story is that people come to believe in different ways and at different times and for different reasons. And that is absolutely okay. So for some, it might be through reading or hearing the word of God. And in fact, in verse 31, in our reading, John says that he wrote this book that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that was probably very true for me. I think I first really started exploring faith through reading the Bible, and I got to a point where it kind of seemed to make enough sense to me to give it a go. But for other people, they might be more convinced about things by hearing the experience of others, seeing how their belief influences them and their life. And so we see that although the disciples didn't really believe Mary when she came saying that the tomb was empty, we're told that Simon did go and have a look. It wasn't quite enough to get him to believe, but it was certainly enough to get him wondering and thinking and asking. So the experience of others can be so important, and that's why partly we share testimonies through our services and on our web pages about people's belief and encounters with Jesus. But then others, like Thomas, really seem to need that personal experience. And I remember as a young Christian, I had a friend who used to say, I couldn't believe like you do. And in retrospect, now I'm a bit older and hopefully wiser, I look back and think he wanted to believe, but my experience wasn't enough for him. And he really needed his own experience. And I should have told him, you don't need to believe like me. You need to find your own belief and ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. So for some of us, we might take several of those steps. So again, talking about myself, I started off reading the Bible. Then I met people who lived like they knew Jesus and talked about him. And then very gradually, I came to experience his presence in my life. But the end result, however we get there, should be the same. That change of perspective as to who Jesus is, Lord and God, as Thomas said. And I just wonder, which describes you at this point? Where are you? Are you at the beginning of that journey, really doubting whether Jesus perhaps ever lived, let alone whether he rose from the dead? Are you beginning to be convinced? You've been reading and you want to find out more? Or are you at a point where you are very clear, yes, you do believe? So there's different ways then of coming to believe, all of them equally valid. But the second thing that I got from this passage is that Jesus allows us to doubt, and he allows us to express those doubts. And we see this because he doesn't tell Thomas off. He respected his doubts and what Thomas said he needed to be able to believe, to be able to see Jesus and to see his hands and his sides. And he very graciously met that need and helped Thomas to find belief. And I believe that Jesus wants us to believe. He doesn't want to make it difficult. And so, you know, if we tell him what our problems are and where our questions are, where our doubts are, that enables him to respond to those and do something about it. And so because of that, it's really important to be honest about the doubts that we have, all the questions that we have, things that we don't understand. You know, we might think it's more spiritual to not express doubts and to claim that everything is wonderful and we've got it all taped. But actually, that's not honest, is it? And it won't enable us to meet with Jesus so that he can actually deal with those questions and answer them for us, which I believe he will do. Again, I remember when I was at that very early stage in exploring faith myself, and I've told this story before, so apologies those of you who have heard it. But one of the really sticking points for me was I just didn't understand why Jesus had to die in the first place. And so I asked God about it, feeling a little bit foolish, but that's what I've been encouraged to do. And I very clearly felt directed to read a part of the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 5 to 6. To the best of my knowledge, I'd never read that before. I'd never seen it before. I had no way of knowing what that passage was about. But when I looked it up, it absolutely answered my question. And it was on those light bulb moments where I thought, oh, I see, I get it, I understand now. And so if we're honest about those doubts, God can answer them and help us to face them and hopefully begin to find our way through them. You know, in this story, Jesus came into a closed room, a locked space, and he brought peace and he brought an encounter with him. And so I think it's really important that we don't close our mind or our heart, but they're willing to open them to him, to let him to bring us that sense of peace and his presence as well. So if you have doubts or questions, things you're not sure about, why not tell Jesus? Or if you're not quite ready for that, perhaps ask another person who you know does believe or perhaps is a little bit further on in the Christian journey than you and ask them what they think. And there's a fantastic opportunity at Alpha, which is going to be running online, I understand, soon, where you can come wherever you're at and ask those questions, express your doubts, say if you think it's nonsense, say if you do believe but there's still things you don't understand. Just be open and honest and explore those questions that you have. So that's about expressing our doubts to Jesus. But you know, one of the other things I found interesting in this passage and other similar passages before them, where Jesus meets his disciples, most of the time Jesus appeared to a group, not to individuals. And it just got me thinking that that must have been great for them in the future, because they would have been able to reassure each other that it really did happen. It just seems to me that if they'd been on their own, perhaps many years into the future they'd have been looking back, perhaps at a time of doubt or despondency, and think, did that really happen? Was I mistaken? Did I imagine it? Was I hallucinating? But because they were together, they would have been able to encourage each other. No, it really did happen. We were all there. Don't you remember? We were there together. We saw him. It was real. And this really shows the importance of each other in our faith, doesn't it? And it's hard at this time when we can't meet together physically, but we can still meet together virtually and then encourage each other. When my lovely mother-in-law was dying from a brain tumour, I remember we went to visit her one weekend. She had a strong Christian faith, but she was obviously going through a time of doubt. And I remember her trying to talk to me, and it was difficult because the speech centers of her brain had been affected by the tumor. But eventually I said to her, are you trying to ask me whether I believe it's true? Do I really believe? And she looked at me very relieved. She got this across and said, yes. And I said, yeah, I do. I do believe it. And, you know, that's all she needed to hear. And I could just see her body relaxed, and you could see the peace come into her face. And we started talking about something else. I didn't have to go into huge detail. I didn't have to give her the 3-point sermon. She knew all that. All she needed at that time of doubt was somebody to come alongside her and say, it's OK, you're not alone. I believe too, and I'm believing with you, and I'm believing for you. So I've talked about us, I've talked about our doubts and helping each other in them. But the last thing I want to talk about is whether we are ready, particularly in the church, to allow others to doubt and to express their doubts? Or do we in effect say, a bit like the title of this talk, stop doubting and believe, without really trying to help and understand? Do we take people seriously in the way that Jesus took Thomas seriously and try and explore with them what their doubts and their questions are? Do we let people say that they think it all sounds like nonsense? Or do we think we've got to jump in and explain it all and justify it and go through the Bible and tell them why they shouldn't be doubting? Because that's not what Jesus did, is it? But I think this is also another reason for us to be honest about our doubts, in order to be real to other people who are not sure, perhaps themselves. Because if we claim to have it all sewn up, no problems, no questions, no doubts, it could be difficult for others to be honest about their questions and where they are. Again, I remember many years ago, I was in a student Christian group, and we had a visitor who was quite well known in Christian circles, and we were really looking forward to her talk. And she started off by basically saying she didn't have any problems in her Christian life, she'd never gone through a dry period, she didn't have any doubts in her faith whatsoever. The problem with that is, first of all, I don't think any of us really believed her, and we were all sort of looking around each other. And so she lost credibility and, you know, in what she subsequently said. But secondly, we didn't feel we could relate to her, so we didn't feel able to be honest about our own questions, and it became quite an awkward session from what I remember. So what I'm saying is, let's give people room and permission to be honest about their doubts and to be ready to be honest about ours with them, and that way we can have much more real and meaningful conversations. So what I've covered is the different ways that we can come to believe and how all of those are valid and equally important for different people. I've talked about being honest about our doubts, and that by doing that, we enable Jesus to come alongside us and help us deal with any doubts or questions or uncertainties that we have. But it might also help others in their journey if we are honest about our doubts and allow them to be honest about theirs. And so as I finish, I'm just going to have a time of quiet, and I'd just like to ask each one of you, and I'll ask myself as well, is there a doubt that you have, or is there perhaps a question that you have that you've never just been quite sure about, something that doesn't quite make sense to you, that you would like to tell God about, or that you might like to ask somebody else about over the next few days or weeks, maybe even come along to Alpha when it starts? Or maybe you feel fairly confident and comfortable at the moment, and you'd just like a moment to express your thanks to God for having met Jesus in your life. So we'll just take a moment of quiet to think about that, whether there is any doubt or question that we want to bring before God, and then I'll say a prayer of response that you may wish to join in. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus, and we thank you that he took that time to come back and meet people in their doubts and questions, and that in doing so, he enabled them to come to a belief that lasted for the rest of their lives. And we pray that as we bring our doubts and our questions and our thoughts towards you, that we would find you ministering in our lives and strengthening our faith also. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And for those of you who are taking part in the traditional service, the next hymn is Be Thou My Vision. And after that, patience will lead us into our time of intercession.
Hello. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Lord, we pray for our bruised and fearful world, struggling to cope with a virus with no cure. Bless and protect all those who've been affected in countries near and far. Be with those who mourn, but cannot be with the dying or say the goodbyes that they would want. Lord, we bring before you the hungry, the homeless, and the refugees. Give us the strength to look beyond our immediate circles and remember those who are much less privileged than ourselves. We entrust oppressed people to your keeping throughout the world. We yearn for a world without strife and bloodshed. May good come from this health crisis to allow countries to live in peace and cooperation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for the leaders of our nation and all those in positions of authority. Bring wisdom and understanding to our government at a time when huge decisions are having to be made, where there are no easy solutions. Put your loving arms around the beleaguered hospitals and care homes, and in the midst of doubt and fear, give the staff and patients the sense of peace that only you can bring. Give knowledge and insight to the many scientists and doctors who are working round the clock to understand this illness and trying to find a cure. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the many essential workers who bring order to our lives, the bin men, the posties, those keeping the lights on, the water in the taps, and the gas to heat our homes. Particularly, we pray for the many thousands of volunteers who, by their unselfish love, are enabling the vulnerable to stay safe in their homes. Lord, we give thanks for all the leaders of our church who bring your word into our homes in the most amazing ways and bringing us ever closer together with a great sense of community and warmth. We thank you for the opportunities to bring the church to a wider audience that the lockdown has brought us, for the work that goes on to bring the ministry to a wider group of people who yearn for comfort in uncertain times. We ask your blessing on the developing Alpha Online, which will bring your love and peace to those who haven't either met you before or want to know you more. This week, our children are returning to home school. Lord, this is not as easy as it sounds. We ask your blessing on all the teachers who've spent their Easter holiday trying to prepare appropriate work. To the parents trying to encourage their children, and indeed to the children themselves who miss their school friends and need to continue that education. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, be with all those who are suffering from ill health in mind or body. The extended lockdown furthers the isolation and loneliness that people feel. Protect our mental health and enable a sense of calm and peace. We bring before you the agonies of those who are suffering from domestic violence in all its forms. In your love, relieve them from their fears and anxieties. We ask for your blessing on our families and friends near and far, and on all those we love. Let us take a moment to pray for all those who are known only unto us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Circle us, Lord. Circle our church with the light of the gospel. May we understand more of our faith and why we believe it. May we understand more of our doubt and not be too hard on it. May we commit ourselves to following you in the small details of our lives, in this particular fellowship, and all and at this particular time. Circle us, Lord. Keep love within. Keep darkness out. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Patience, for leading us in those intercessions. Now we're going to join in to communion now. And you may like to get some bread, some wine or some grape juice as a symbol of to share in the bread and the wine together, though I take it on our behalf. But before we do, we're going to say the peace together. And if you've got the service books on page 26. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. So let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord always be with you and also with you. And if you are with others at the moment, why don't you share a sign of the peace with one another and then we'll take communion. We're going to use Eucharistic prayer V in the booklet on page 30. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Blessed are you, Lord God, our light and our Saviour. To you be glory and praise forever. From the beginning, you have created all things. And all your works echo the silent music of your praise. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, the crown of all creation. You give us breath and speech, that with angels and archangels and all the powers of heaven, we may find a voice to sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embrace their people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From then you raised up Jesus our Saviour, born of Mary, to be the living bread, in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. And on the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Christ is the bread of life. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us in the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Reveal her unity, guard her faith, and preserve her peace. Bring us at the last, with all the saints, to the vision of that eternal splendour for which you have created us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, with whom, and in whom, with all who stand before you in heaven and earth, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. And so, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So, Father, we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. And though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. And so, though we are separated physically, spiritually, I invite you to draw near with faith and receive in your hearts the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. I will eat and drink on our behalf in remembrance that he died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. Perhaps as we sit wherever we are, we remember what Judith has shared with us. And perhaps at this moment, particularly call, Lord, to stir our faith deeper and richer, increase our faith in this coming season, in this time of isolation. May we know you more deeply and more richly because of this season, Lord. Amen. So let me say the post-communion prayer. Lord God, our Father, through our Saviour Jesus Christ, you have assured your children of eternal life, and in baptism have made us one with him. Deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in your love, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us say together the post-communion prayer on page 36. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen. We're now going to sing our final hymn, Thine Be the Glory, number 689. 689. Thine be the glory. To finish with, thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. We have a conquering and victorious risen Lord that we worship day in, who's alive now and today. We can know him. What's the call? No more we doubt thee, which was the call that Judith was sharing with us earlier. So we're coming to the end of our service. Just a couple of notices. We're going to be doing Alpha Online in the coming weeks. Please look out for information on that on the website and also in the newsletter. And please be praying, is there someone in this season and this time who is asking questions and wants to know more about who Jesus is? And to grow in there, or explore faith. So that's Alpha Online. Just want to recognise all the families and children that have gone back to school this week. We're blessing out, bless you guys. We're praying for you in this virtual school season. So I know it's not easy at times, but we're praying for you. We just want to recognise you also at this time. Also, please keep emailing us, sending us stories of how you're doing, what your struggles and with your joys, where you're seeing God break through, where you are not seeing God break through, but you desire to see God break through, then please email us your stories. We'd love to be able to hear what's going on around you. And also, if you're joining us but don't have a worship pack, then please let us know. Again, email and contact details are on the website. Please let us know and we'll get a worship pack to you. So let us finish with a blessing. The peace of God which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us today and always. Amen. Well, have a wonderful day and enjoy the coming week wherever you are. And we've got, we're going to finish this service with a special additional blessing sung by our very own Debbie. So enjoy this and see you next week.
May the peace of God which passes understanding fill our spirits right at this moment. May the peace of God, which passes understanding, fill our spirits all of our days. May you guide spirit.